Before I get to the message this morning, let me make mention of you of a few things, or mention to you of a few things, particularly about Easter, as it's coming soon. 2 weeks from today is Easter Sunday, March 31st, and we have been asking you to be thinking and praying about someone that you can invite to Easter services, a neighbor, maybe somebody, a friend that not necessarily living right next to you, but someone that you know who doesn't go to church somewhere regularly. That's the person that we would like for you to invite to our Easter service. And we have some invitation cards for you at the Welcome Center that you can grab some of these and give, and maybe make a batch of cookies or some homemade bread and extend that to them as a gift along with your invitation, and pray that God will use your invitation, that he will use you to touch that person, and maybe they will come to our Easter services. Certainly we need to be praying about that. Keep in mind our Easter services are at 9 a.m. and 10:30. We are having two services that day. You come to whichever of those services you want. They will be pretty much the same service that day, the same sermon. And I know that you're dying to know this because it is so important. We will be having donuts before each service, okay? And we're ordering extra donuts that day, so we would encourage you to come prior to the service, enjoy some fellowship, enjoy some donuts, and that's going to be a good opportunity for fellowship for you. And we're not sure. We're just trusting that our crowd will be good that day, which means that maybe our parking lot will be full that day, as it has been several times over these weeks past. Somebody has mentioned to me that there have been some Sundays that it's just kind of hard to find a parking spot, and that's a good problem to have. So let me encourage you that are regulars and able-bodied to be willing to park a distance away on Easter Sunday. And maybe that would be a good practice for you to get into even prior to Easter. And after Easter, Everett has said that we can park in his driveway, you know, where when we have the corn maze in the fall, the workers are asked to park, if I'm pointing in the right direction that way, thank you, Ethan, down in across from Elijah's house in that driveway. Some of you may want to park there, or across the field. just help us that day, and that will be much appreciated. Also, let me mention this to you, all of this about Easter. If we are full that day, would you be willing to scoot in close to your neighbor instead of leaving one chair empty between you and your neighbor? I hope your neighbor won't bite you. If he does, you just bless him in the name of Jesus, okay? And pray that he doesn't have rabies, okay? And I've wondered this. I've been thinking about this in my own mind. Have you noticed how full up we have been over these weeks past? And really since the first of the year, and we praise the Lord for that. And I don't know if you have noticed the extra numbers started about the time that our extra praying started that's connected with Mission 15. You know, all of that has been happening together simultaneously. You just think about it. You can put all of those pieces together just as I can. We now have 30 people signed up on our way towards the goal of 50 people who have said that they would commit to praying 15 minutes a week for lost souls to be saved. not just around the world, lost souls, but lost souls right in our backyard. That's what we're praying about. And I would encourage you to consider joining those 30 who have signed up. Help us reach our goal of 50. And let's have a church full of people who are prayer warriors of those who need Jesus as Savior. Now, that brings me to my sermon for today. I've said all of this preliminary stuff. Now, sermon time. I have a picture for you. These are four Australian jewel beetles. Now, don't worry, this is not the topic for my sermon, but it is going to get us in that direction. I'm not a bug expert at all, but I have heard about how these Australian jewel beetles were actually becoming endangered, an endangered species, for a very strange reason. Their birth rate is declining because the male beetles are not helping with the reproduction process very well. The problem is that there is so much litter in Australia that instead of finding a female beetle, the male beetles are attempting to mate with littered beer bottles. This is not a joke. This is real. The female beetles are bigger than the male beetles. They are amber-colored. And so the male beetle sees this beer bottle that is, as a very large and attractive potential mate. It's not the first time a beer bottle has led to a guy making a dumb decision about his love life. Probably won't be the last time. And by the way, the title of this article from National Geographic, it's telling the story. The title is Misplaced Affection Has Deadly Consequences. Let that sink in for a moment. Misplaced affection has deadly consequences. Isn't that the way of the world? I mean, you start chasing after something that you think's going to satisfy you, and the world says, yeah, this is going to satisfy you. This is going to help you. This will fulfill you. This will meet your every desire. This is going to meet your deepest needs. And you get started down that road, and at first it does seem to have a lot of glitter. It has a lot of glamour to it, maybe even some fun. And then once you're down that road, you figure out it's all a lie. It's just a cheap substitute. It really can't deliver. Those things that the world says will deliver don't deliver. Hear me say this. Only God delivers. Only Jesus delivers. And as we give ourselves fully to Him, our Lord and our Savior, we find out that He has a mission for us. It's a mission for all of us. It's a mission that is possible, and it is a mission that is fulfilling. You have seen our banner in the lobby as you've come in these first 3 months of the year, and you've seen it on our screen several times. Mission possible. And the scripture is Mark 16:15. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Now, Jesus said that specifically to His disciples, but I want you to know it's for you and me too, 21 centuries later. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Elijah, last week as he was preaching, he said to you that the mission is possible, but it's not possible without prayer. And I want to add to that this morning in my preaching. The mission is possible, but it's not possible without the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to help us on this great commission. He is the divine power that will enable us to accomplish this mission. First of all, the Holy Spirit will prepare the way for us. I've noticed as I've been driving over these last several weeks around this area, particularly several farmers out in their field working the ground. It tells us springtime is here. They're working the ground, getting it ready for planting. And as I was talking with Tim Fortner this last week through text and then on the telephone, having a conversation with him about this, you know, he reminds me that their work for spring planting begins back in the fall. And they're doing a lot of work in the fall preparing the ground for what will happen in the spring. And then when the spring comes, there's more work to be done. It's quite a process that they're involved in to get that seed planted in the ground at the right time. And it's so much more than just putting the seed in the soil and hoping for a good yield in the harvest. No, it is a process that requires special attention. So too, in the process of the Great Commission being fulfilled, there is some preparation work that needs to be done. And you know what? The Holy Spirit does, he fulfills a big role in that. He is preparing the soil, you might say, for the seed to be planted. He is working on that person's heart ahead of time to prepare them for the seed of the gospel to be planted here in their heart. And Paul knew of this truth. And that's why on more than one occasion, he is asking the churches to pray for the process. He's asking for both the recipient of the seed to be prayed for, and he's asking for God's help to be given to the sower of the seed. Ephesians 6, 20 and 21 from the New International Version, Paul says this: "Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." Isn't that a great prayer? He's asking for prayer for the sower of the seed. And let me read to you Colossians 4, verses 3 and 4. He says this: "Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." You take these two passages of Scripture and put them together, I see Paul asking for three prayer requests. He's saying, number one, pray that God will give me the words to say and that I will be fearless in speaking those words. Number two, he says, pray that my message will be clear. Pray that those who are receiving the message will understand what I'm saying. And number three, he says, pray that God will open the door for the gospel to be spoken. In other words, pray that their hearts will be ready, that hearts will be prepared to hear the gospel. You know what? I would love it if you would pray those prayers for me. And I need to be praying those prayers for you. Lord, would you help us to be ready to sow the seed, and Lord, would you help us to be fearless in what we say to those who need to hear the gospel, and Lord, would you help us to be clear in our speaking, and Lord, would you prepare their hearts to receive the message? Those are wonderful prayers that we should be praying for each other. And it says to me that the Holy Spirit is playing a an important role in this whole process. He's preparing the way before we even get there. How important is prayer? And how important is the Holy Spirit in this great commission that we are talking about? Tim Fortner and Shannon Simmons had great ideas that they put together this last week as we were in a board meeting, and Tim first spoke up and said, you know, we need to develop a prayer plan before Easter gets here. We need to develop a prayer plan before Easter gets here that God would do some really great things, not only on Easter morning, but in all of these invitations that our people are going to be giving. We need to be praying about that. We need to have some kind of an organized plan in our prayer about that. And Shannon jumped in at that time, and he said, hey, how about this? What if we encourage our people to set their alarms at 9 a.m. and or 9 p.m. between now and Easter, and all of us get on board praying together in unison for God to do his work in people's lives? Isn't that a good idea? And I want to encourage you with that. Every one of us practically have a phone in our pocket. I was going to pull mine out, but it's on the front row here. We carry a phone with us, or some of you now have these, you know, high-tech watches, and we each of us can set an alarm. And I want to encourage you to think about what your schedule is, what works for you. But I'm thinking probably 9 a.m. or 9 p.m. will work for most of us. Maybe it'll work for you on both ends. And you might want to set your alarm for 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. And when that alarm goes off, it will remind you to pray just a short prayer. I'm not asking you to pray for an hour. I'm asking you to just at 9 a.m. or 9 p.m. when your alarm goes off, that you will send a prayer up to Jesus and just say something like this: Lord, would you bless our Easter services to come? Would you help people to receive these invitations and come to church on Easter morning? Would you help us to have a celebration service on Easter like never before? Would you help Kevin as he preaches that day? Lord, there's lost souls that need saved. You may not want to pray all of that, but pray some of that or whatever the Lord puts on your heart. And let's start this today, okay? At 9 p.m. tonight and all this week, 9 a.m., 9 p.m., that your alarm would be set at least one of those times. If those times don't work for you, choose a time that works. And what will God do through us when all of us together are knocking on heaven's doors in unison, asking for the Holy Spirit to do his work ahead of time? So the Holy Spirit, he works ahead. Let me give you a second point. The Holy Spirit prepares me. I need help in being the best witness that I can be. I need conviction in my life. Yes, that lost soul out there needs conviction in their life too, but you know, I need conviction. Maybe you would say the same thing. Maybe you would say, I need conviction too, Kevin. And the reason I'm saying that is, if there is a conflict in my life and the message that I am going to speak to that person, then that creates a hindrance to the gospel. And I don't want that. And so, Holy Spirit, would you convict me of my sin? Would you convict me of being more like Jesus so that I am not providing an excuse for someone to not come to Jesus, maybe that's a prayer that you need to pray too. I'd like for Nathan to put this next scripture on the screen, and you just read it as I'm talking to you. The job of the Holy Spirit is to convict. I was looking back in my records. It was a few years ago, 22 actually, that I preached for 6 weeks a series on the Holy Spirit. And every week I centered on a different responsibility that the Holy Spirit takes care of in our life. He points us to Jesus. That's one of his responsibilities. He comforts us. That's another one of his responsibilities. He leads us. He helps us understand Scripture better. He comforts us. He prays for us. He grows us in spiritual fruit. He brings gifts to us. All of these are responsibilities that the Holy Spirit does for us. And there is another responsibility. One of his main responsibilities is he convicts us of sin and righteousness and judgment. We should have verse 8 also, Nathan. Throw that up there if you have it. Yeah, see, there's verse 8. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and righteousness and judgment. And so, the Holy Spirit, would you work on me? Would you convict me before the divine encounter happens so that I can be a light to that person rather than a hindrance? Let me read to you from Psalms chapter 139 as we think about the Spirit convicting us. Psalms 139 verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. If we will open ourselves up to his scrutiny, his magnifying glass on us, then he can do some good work in our lives, and we need that. You know, the last thing I want, the last thing that you want, is to be an excuse for someone to not come to Jesus. So the Holy Spirit, he's working on me. He's working on that person, preparing them for the gospel seed that is going to be planted in their heart. And here's number 3. The Holy Spirit is there at the moment of encounter. Now, what do I need at that moment? What do you need at that moment when you meet that person who needs to hear the gospel message? What do you need? You need the Holy Spirit to lead you in what to say. And you need boldness, don't you? I those are things that I need, and I'm quite sure those are things that you would say that you need too. And those are the things that the Holy Spirit can provide for us. Let me read to you from Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Again, you see the connection between prayer and the Holy Spirit. And now you add boldness to the mix. If you need more boldness, ask God for it. Ask God for the filling up of his Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit comes to you, he will bring boldness with him for you. I was talking with Barbara Long here just recently, And she said something to me that caught my attention. She said, "I don't know what's happening to me. I used to be so timid and so mum." And she said, "Now I want to talk to everyone." And in answer to her question, "I don't know what's happened to me," I said, "Barbara, I'll tell you what has happened to you. The Holy Spirit has got a hold of you." And when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us, He fills us up with boldness. And we need that. All of us need that. And that isn't for just a select few. That's something that He can make available for each and every one of us here. If we want it, if we desire that, all we have to do is ask for God to give us that filling of the Holy Spirit and to give us His boldness. And He will do that. How about this scripture from Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. When they bring, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not worry about how or what you are to speak in your defense or what you are to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you are to say." What a blessed promise. And yes, I understand that was first given to the 12 disciples by Jesus, but I think the same Holy Spirit who was leading them in what to say is the Spirit who can lead us in what to say too. And I've experienced that so many times. Sometimes I'll say something in a witnessing encounter, and then I'll say to myself, "Where in the world did that come from? I mean, that was really good." And I know it's beyond me. I'm not that smart. It's the Holy Spirit who, at the moment of encounter, at that divine appointment that God, I love that phrase and that thought that God has divine appointments for us. And if we'll be open to Him, if we'll have our eyes and our ears open to Him, we'll see those divine appointments. And as we begin to converse with people, the Holy Spirit will lead us in what to say. And you'll be saying the same thing. Where did that come from? Well, it came from the Holy Spirit because He is our guide. You know what else? I have seen the Holy Spirit work sometimes in spite of me. Sometimes I have said the wrong thing to somebody, and He can still convict in spite of me. He's the one who convicts, not me. And something else, the Holy Spirit is there to help you when the circumstances may not be ideal. Let that sink in for a moment. The Holy Spirit can help you in those circumstances that may not be ideal. I remember one such circumstance particularly. I was sitting in this home talking with this lady about Jesus, and I started looking, and the walls were moving with roaches. I mean, they were everywhere, crawling. And I'm looking, and they're all over the furniture. And I'm flicking them off. And I wanted to get up and scream and run. But the Holy Spirit, in such a not ideal situation, the Holy Spirit was there, and he helped me to keep my mind and to talk with that woman about Jesus. She needed Jesus in her life. And I talked with her, and I shared Christ with her and the roaches. And she gave her life to Jesus. And that woman was, she was one of the most faithful people in the church until the day she died. I loved her. So a not so ideal situation there. And I could tell you other situations. I could tell you all kinds of stories of not such ideal situations, but the Holy Spirit is there. And if we will be his instrument, he will fill us up, and he will speak through us, and he will convict that person with the powerful message of the gospel. And one final point. The Holy Spirit will be there working long after we're gone. Our time and availability is limited. Not so for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is available 24/7, and he can use that time to work on people's lives. If you plant the seed, he can bring the growth in that person's life long after you're gone. He can be using those words that you have spoken to that person. He can bring those words to their mind. Maybe it will be in the middle of the night as they're laying in their bed. Maybe it will be in the middle of a crisis situation when the Holy Spirit brings to mind what you have spoken to them about, that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the one who is with us. He never abandons us. He loves us just as we are, and he gave his life for us. The Holy Spirit, he can deliver. He can deliver. I love the song Waymaker. It says, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. And that's the Holy Spirit. And maybe, I don't know, maybe he's working on you this morning. Some of you? Is he working on you? Is he working on you that you need to be a better witness for him? Is he working on you that you need to give your life to Jesus? Don't resist him. Don't resist him. Just open yourself up to him and say, Holy Spirit, you do your work in me. You do your work in me. Lord, I need you desperately. That should be our prayer. He's working ahead. He's working in us, preparing us to present the gospel. He's working in that person to receive the gospel. He's there at the moment of encounter to lead, to convict. And he will keep on working even when you're not around. The mission is possible, but not without the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. God, thank you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that you've given him to us. We need him desperately in our lives. May he do his work in us here today. In Jesus' name, amen.